Why don't we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we did a couple verses just kind of whet your appetite for this, but we'll back it up into verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "You therefore," and he's basically was telling him about being consistent in his walk. Paul writing to Timothy, we again talked about how important this must be, that Paul, in communicating this to Timothy, is a little bit older now. He's maybe pushing 70-ish. Timothy's in his 30s somewhere. And Paul, this is really one of Paul's last letters that he's written right before his death. And so this is a real important communication. Paul's really pouring his heart out and really wanting to minister something to young Timothy. And he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And this "be strong," I think it's mentioned some 25 times, you know, to Timothy, and, you know, just by Paul in his letters to him, and how important that must be. Be strong. It's not because Timothy wasn't a fervent believer. It wasn't because of that. But don't you think the Lord would say something like that to us? To you as an individual? I think the Lord would speak that to me. I think the Lord would speak that to us as followers of Jesus Christ. Hey, be strong. In other words, he knows what he might be facing there in Ephesus. He knows what Timothy might be facing in his life. You know, Paul and Timothy traveled a lot together, and you know that they suffered a lot of different events, you know, shipwrecked and different things, you know, perilous circumstances. And so he knew what might be going on, the temptations, the pressures. You remember how the coppersmith there in Ephesus had done him, Paul writes, "He had done me much harm." Because he was so aggressive against it, he made these little idols of the goddess Diana. And he made these little mini idols, you know. And they would wear them around, necklaces, all kinds of different things. And so this guy's livelihood was being threatened because of Christianity, because idols were no more needed, as it were. You know, revival does that, doesn't it? It does it in your life. It does it in my life. You go back and chart revivals. You chart the Wales and some of the revivals that started in, for example, in Wales. And all of a sudden, they didn't need to try to legislate a righteous behavior. That doesn't really work anyway. Legislating righteousness, it doesn't really work. But what does work is being a fervent believer and a change of heart and a change of life. But you know, all the pubs started closing down. Alcoholism started to just kind of dissipate. Why? Because people had no more interest. They were changed lives. And so I think, man, we get a hold of the heart, and that's what he's talking about. Be strong, even in the face of all these different things. Be strong. And I like what he says, that it's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That grace, that unmerited love and favor. Stand firm in that. Stand firm in Jesus Christ, in his love and his mercy, his goodness. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the first thing that he tells them is, be a teacher. Be someone who communicates the gospel. Be someone who imparts that to other people that they might impart it to somebody else. We are to be those kind of people. That's the first thing that you'll note, is to be a teacher. Be someone who emulates, talks about, and finds other people that will repeat that on. I think one of the greatest things that I find out of Pastor Chuck's legacy is the many, many ministries that have been birthed just because he was so faithful just to teach the Word of God. And how many people all over the world are doing the exact same thing that he modeled for us. Because you see, there's many things out there as far as the model of what church is. But church is to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the living Word. And how distant we get from what church really is sometimes, about all the bells and whistles, you know, when it's really not about that. It's about you. It's about me as an individual connecting with the one true living God and having a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really the focus. And to be focused on God's word in that way. He says, man, just stay in that grace, that unmerited love and favor that's found in the living word, the person of Jesus Christ. And these things, be a teacher. Those things that you heard, repeat those. Share those with other people. We'll go back to this in just a minute. But the first thing you might note is be a teacher. Be someone who shares something with someone else. Be someone who leads and instructs others. You know, those of you who have young family, you guys can do this, you know, every day, day in and day out. If you are in a place, every one of us has a place of sphere of influence, as it were. People that we have contact with that actually might listen to us, you know, share with them. It's great. What a great truth. Be a teacher. The next thing we find in verse 3, you therefore, he says, also don't forget this, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to find this endure is part of the key to these four things that we're going to talk about. In order to stay on that course, that track that God has put you on, that God's put me on, we're on one together as Christians, but we're also on an individual journey, aren't we? Every one of us, though we're together, we also are individuals, and we have a course set out for you. You have a course set out for you. And part of that course is us being together like this. That's part of the course. You and I have a divine appointment with Jesus Christ together. Right here, right now, this is a divine appointment. This isn't a coincidence. This isn't a perchance. We all think we made choices to get here. Oh, I suppose, but I believe we're on a schedule. And God's got a purpose and a plan in every last bit of this. And we have to endure because hardship is going to happen. For any who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's part of the journey. Now, we want to insulate ourselves from that as much as possible. That's our nature. But the reality is, man, it helps to shape and mold our lives. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I like how he qualifies this. We touched on this last week. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, if you're a soldier, you aren't to get all lost in civilian life because you are a part of this man's army. You're not your own anymore. As a matter of fact, if you get involved in the service, they tell you exactly what color your clothing is going to be that day. That's the way it is. And you know what? The drill sergeant is happy to let you know, if you don't like it, that you do really like it. Very persuasive fellows. It's funny, Romaine, Pastor Chuck's assistant pastor for many years until he went home to be with the Lord. That's what he was a career military guy, Marine, and that's what he was, a drill sergeant. Interesting fellow. Don't get too entangled in the sense with this life's issues when we are a part of another kingdom and we're part of a force for good on this earth, that you and I have a purpose again and a plan, and you and I have this we are part of a not just a fellowship of believers, yes, but we're also a part of a great army in that sense. And it's hard for us to always see ourselves like that, but I like one other note of this is that there's warfare. Sometimes we forget about that, but just getting here sometimes is warfare, isn't it? It really is. Next thing you know, you turn around and little Johnny's yacked on the floor and you're trying to, oh my gosh, you know, I thought we were just trying to get to church, you know. I mean, it didn't happen yesterday, it didn't happen the day before or for the last month, but, you know, or we have just crazy things, Saturdays and Saturday nights. Crazy things have always gone on for us in our home. And so we always just like kind of keep a low profile, you know, because man, I mean, even in our communication with each other, Lo and I we're very cautious, you know, not to get all wrapped around the axle about anything on Saturdays because, man, it goes south in about, boom, just like that. It gets weird, you know. Next thing you know, we're beefing about something. It's like, who cares what color, you know, orange that is, you know? I mean, you know, but that's what you get. You guys know. The warfare that we're involved in, man, that's not our focus, you know what I mean, to get caught up in that kind of what color orange that is. You know, that's not the thing that it's all about. But I like this last part. You know, there's a comma right there. It says the affairs of this life. Then comma, then it says that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see, we were inducted into the service of the master. You and I were inducted into the service of the master. By our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the leader of our army. And we've been inducted into that. My life is no longer my own. That's why when we were praying, I've been musing on this for quite a bit. This idea of being self-willed or following the will of God. Self-willed or the will of God. And it's such a, this is the battle. You realize, husbands and wives, you realize the battle you're in is the battle of the wills most of the time. Who's going to be right, you know? And who's going to win over? Whose will is going to win over, you know? Is he going to install the drapes or will it be mini blinds? Guys, you might as well give it up now. It's going to be the drapes and it's going to be whatever they choose. Just get your screwdriver out and install whatever you're asked to install. It doesn't matter that much to you, does it? No. You get to sweep the garage. You get to build your bench the way you want. She doesn't care about that. That's outside of that sphere there that matters so much. You know, really, a wise guy, not the wise guy of that kind of wise guy, but a smarter fellow thinks about some of these things. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We want to please Jesus Christ. That's really the focus, right? As a Christian, I want to please Jesus Christ. So I've given my will over to his will. So that I'm tracking. Have you ever noticed, like, let's say God's will is like this line. And every so often, all of a sudden, your life is going along and boom, and you just kind of fall into the current, you know, and you're just going along with the Lord. And you're in his will, and things, it's not always easy, but there's just this interesting ebb and flow of it. It's a wonderful thing to discover the will of God. It really is. It's a wonderful thing for us as Christians because never anywhere else will we find the kind of satisfaction to when we just fall into the current of God's will. And then all of a sudden, we start looking over here and we become self-willed again and we start jumping on and we're going to sit on the throne of our lives again and rule and reign just like we did when we ruined everything. And then all of a sudden, we start going off and all of a sudden, life changes a little bit. And we're thinking more about this over here and that over there. And then we realize, whoa, 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 whoa. I got to get back on track. And we start making this turn back. And then we get back into the current again. God's will is a consistent thing that's flowing. Our goal is to spend more time in the current of that flow than on the parameter outside edges of it. Now, did I say at one point in time ever that your salvation was at stake in this? That's not what I'm saying. Salvation is a free gift to you and I. He's talking here to believers who are wanting to follow the Lord, who have a commitment to Jesus Christ, and he's talking to leader people. Everybody, this letter was to be read to the church there. This isn't private. It was written to Timothy, but it's not private in that sense. It's open. This is for all of us. So we've been enlisted in an army, so we know we're to be teachers and soldiers. What's the third thing? And also, if anyone competes in athletics, again, these are things that were familiar to them. They always had people, think of in that culture, the number of people that would get up and start to talk about things. They were always looking for philosophies and ideas and concepts. This was happening all over, much less the Jewish mind. That was the Grecian mindset. The Jewish mindset, right, we had the rabbis and all these guys that were all around all the time doing the same thing, teaching different things and sharing different concepts and stuff. And so they understood the teacher and the disciple, and they understood that concept. They also understood the soldiers. The Roman soldiers were around all the time, and they saw them, and they saw how they lived, they saw how they functioned, and they saw what they were committed to, their loyalties and so on. This is all visual to them that they really understood. It's like us when we travel, we will go walk through airports. We see the guys in their khakis and their, you know what I mean, their greens and their camos and all their stuff. Not the Duck Dynasty guys. I'm talking about the other ones, you know. The other, not those camos. The camos that are in the military, right? We see all of them all over. And we identify with that. We say, yeah, they're in the armed forces. Right? There's no question. That's what they're doing. They belong to the armed forces. Wouldn't it be great if people looked at you and I, not because of the clothing, but because of our demeanor, because of our lifestyle, and they said, oh no, that guy belongs to Jesus Christ. You know, in the spirit realm, you're marked out that way. Be nice in this realm for people to identify and just see, hey, by their life, by their choices, by the way they live, they're marked out. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, so now he goes to something that they're very familiar with also, is competition athletically. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Then he says, so that was the third one, is the athlete. And you guys know about it. Any of you have ever been in, you know, sporting things, sports activities or anything. Man, it's a commitment, isn't it? One, it is a commitment. First off, for sure. And the coach always drills that into your head, doesn't he? This is a commitment, you know, and they talk to you about what it's going to take. You don't do well if you haven't been practicing. I'm looking over here because I know Tim used to play baseball. So I'm just like, Tim, I know you're going to connect with this. But the idea of you know, I mean, you were committed to that. You guys had to travel where you had to travel. You're part of a team. No one's, you know, you don't, oh, yeah, hey, I'm just kind of, oh, my nose is a little runny today. I don't, you know, you would never even do that. You know, you'd be, you know, you just aren't going to do that. Because you're a part of that team, because you've been tempering your body to perform at its peak, to do the best you can do, right? So that you're starting to get this picture of what he's talking about, you know, and what's involved in this serving the Lord, following the Lord, being a Christian in our day and age. He says now, the fourth one is the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Says, you know, you got to dine. I have to think about, dine on, study through. I get radically blessed by it, even in advance of sharing any of it, you know, the word. I'm the beneficiary of that. But the idea is that the hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Think about what the hardworking, and I love that he says the hardworking farmer, because you know what? Farming is hard work. You know, think about them. They didn't get in there. John Deere hadn't built anything yet, right? You know? It didn't exist yet, did it? So there's no equipment like that. It's animals that you've got to feed in order to, you know, just this chain reaction of effort and work. And I think it's interesting. One of the things that happens, they take this little seed and they plant it. That hardworking farmer does. And he plants it with some element of faith because there is an expectation that I'm planting this and this crop is going to grow. Ultimately, that's going to be the end result of the work that I'm putting. He's not working for nothing. You and I as Christians aren't serving the Lord just for nothing. There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's a reason. I love this, and this is the fifth one, but this is a freebie. This is extra scriptural, okay? Extracurricular. But Frank Drown, some of you remember Frank. He was just a great brother, older gentleman that was, you know, served down in Ecuador for so many years. A good friend of our fellowship here, and a good friend, he and his wife are good friends with Flo and I, and we really enjoy them. They're lovely, lovely older couple that really have a lot to offer, and the kingdom, and they're still serving the Lord faithfully. But one of the things that he talked to me about one time, because it takes about a half hour from here to get to his place and then a half hour back. So I get a half hour, and he's always schooling me about something, you know. And it's great. I'm all ears, man. And he just says, Jim, do you like to fish? Frank really loves to fish. I go, yeah, I like to fish. He goes, you know why Jesus called fishermen? You know, I don't know where he's going always, so I just kind of, well, you know, I'm not real sure, Frank, you know. And he just jumps right on. He goes, you know, when you go fishing, you plan on getting skunked? You don't plan on going fishing and catching nothing. He goes, fishermen have an expectation. You and I as Christians should have an expectation that God is going to, that he's at work and he's going to do something in and through your life today, tomorrow, the next day. God's got a plan. This is what is all being laid out in all of these things. But he says something that gets very interesting in verse 7. So that was the fifth one. It was a freebie. It was the fishing thing. But the ones that are scriptural are the teacher, the athlete, the soldier, the farmer. Those are the ones that Paul is identifying or connecting with. And each one of those represents something that is not always easy. It takes a commitment. It takes a consistency. It takes a buffeting the flesh, right? The discipline of our lives in order to operate at a high performance. You know what I'm saying? Like just the physical aspect of the athlete. He says in verse 7, consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He says, would you consider this? He says, this is really important. It's not just a, hey, kind of think about this. It's more like, hey, really put this into action. Consider this as part of something that you should be connected with. And why does he say, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Because this is a living God that we serve. And then read with me what it says. According to my gospel. And I sat around and I thought about my gospel. Well, gosh, Paul, that's quite a sense of ownership that you've grabbed a hold of here, you know. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know. I'm thinking, well, you know, that's pretty, you're thinking pretty highly of yourself here in this, you know. I'm kind of just thinking through what he's trying to convey. Then this is where I landed at with this. And the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. Jim, is this your gospel? Hey, why don't you put your name in there? Is this your gospel? Personally. Because gospel means good news. Is this your good news? It's my good news. I can say this is my gospel. I can say the same thing that Paul said with no arrogance whatsoever, but just an identification. He said, man, I serve a living God. Good news. This is good news. This is my good news, is that I serve a living God. There is no other small g God that is on the face of the earth that has ever done what you can't even compare to Jesus Christ. Doesn't even remotely come close. And the power is stated clearly there in the resurrection. And there's going to be everything around you and me that is going to fight and war against that in your life, the gospel. And it is going to, think about this, the joy of the Lord, in Nehemiah it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, people look at you, people look at me, and when they see you have joy, which is something that springs up from within, it's not based on external circumstances, it's something that happens from inside and is out. Happiness is happenstance. I'm happy with my circumstances. Joy comes from within. And that is the one thing that the enemy is always trying to grab a hold of and take away from us. Why? Because it reflects poorly on my gospel, my good news. See, my good news isn't based on my circumstances. My good news is good news. Always. All the time. So he used those four examples because it's difficult. Talk to someone who's been a teacher for a long time. It's a challenge. Always different new students, always different new challenges, regulate different things going on, trying to communicate something. Again, with this expectation that there'd be growth in the individual's life, that they'd develop, that they would catch onto something. He says, remember that. That's very important. Then he says, that gospel, my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Now, was Paul an evildoer? No. but he suffers as if he was an evildoer. Does that ever happen to you? Does that ever happen to me? Just because we're believers, sometimes somebody, you know, they start, for us, most of the time, it's just either poking or prodding or maybe a work environment situation, and you're called into the off, you know, the a boss's office because you had a Bible out on your desk, you know? And hey, that's, you know, you can't bring your religious stuff in here and all this kind of thing. These things happen. And there's a lot of different kinds of pressure. I suffer. Because of the suffering, this is one of the things that's so important, because there will be suffering, because it is the guarantee of the Christian experience. He says, I suffer as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. And I like this, but the word of God is not chained. He keeps his focus on what's really important, doesn't he? The word of God is not chained. Do you realize that no matter what your difficulty is today, no matter what the trial might be, the word of God, the gospel, is not chained. Nothing can bind that. You see? That's a powerful truth to think on. Therefore, I endure. That is the key. And this is what he's trying to tell Timothy. Endure like the farmer with expectation. It's hard work. Endure. Like the teacher, hoping that that student will grow and develop and be productive and be useful for the purposes of the teacher's instruction. That the athlete would do the best they can and win the prize at the end of it all. Again, that hardworking farmer would ultimately enjoy the crops. I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul had such a burden, didn't he, for the Jewish people, of which he was one. And he had such a burden for them, wanting them to relate. And then, no doubt, for those of us as believers, having that great burden for all of humanity. He says, this is a faithful saying. This is really something I stay focused on. In the midst of all the hardship, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of all the things, the gospel's not chained, and it's my gospel. It's my good news. It's your good news. As an individual, it's your good news to convey with other people. If you're not feeling it, you're not talking about just feeling-y feelings, but if you're not getting or sensing that, man, pray about that. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to sense that. This is good news. I want to function in this. It is. It's hope and help to all of humanity. He says, for if we died with him, this is a faithful thing. This is what I stay focused on. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Man, so whatever happens to me physically, he says, whatever, I'm going to be with the Lord ultimately. It doesn't matter. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, as the scripture says, Jesus said himself, he will also deny us. People turn away from, you know, they just say, no, I'm not interested in the gospel. Not interested in that good news. Don't care. Don't want it. Don't need it. Move on. You've got other divine appointments. You've got a schedule to keep. You pray for them, but move on. You've got a schedule to keep. There are other people that need to hear what you have to say. You're on a schedule that God has foreordained for each of us as believers. And that person you bump into, and they're saying, hey, I'm really working through this. I'm really having, man, that's an opportunity. Whatever it might be, whatever the situation is, if we are faithless, oh, I love this, don't you? He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. No matter what, God is always faithful. Even when we struggle, God is faithful. In other words, isn't it great to know, because of grace, it's not predicated on you and me. We get to partner with and be a part of what God's doing, but it's really based on who he is and what he does. Remind them of these things. This is our last verse. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. I really believe that really works and ties into what we just read. Because he says here, remind them of this is what's really important, Timothy. There's a lot of things that are going to be going on, but this is what's really important. Those four things we're to think on. We're to think about that and we're to endure, just like these others are to endure. And we're to keep our focus on the main thing is the main thing. The main thing is who Jesus Christ is in your life. Who God is, what he has done on the cross for all of us and for all of humanity. And you've got a message. You've got the hope that you can share with a dying world that surrounds us. Father, we do thank you for that hope that you've given us. We thank you for your mercy and endless grace. And we just ask, Lord, that we would embrace that and be able to say, like Paul, according to my gospel. May it be ours this day, Lord. May we walk out of here just knowing that we have got good news because of who you are and what you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.